The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Get to work, Rogers. You know, I do first take. Then I have to do my boxing show, Max on Boxing.
Oh, yeah.
I was taking some interviews, by the way.
Who'd you interview?
Jermall Charlo.
Okay.
See what I mean? I don't just do the guys who appear on our network. I cover the world of boxing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, let me see, Mike Coppinger from The Athletic came on. We had to tape some stuff. And then I have to run to do this show. Raj is texting me, Max, let's check the shot.
You
got to
change.
And I got to change my clothes. I don't want to be in a... The truth of the matter is I put on about 10 pounds. You know, checking in around 202 right now. I don't have... Listen, I got discs in my back. Don't get me started. I can't do cardio, and I put on a little weight. Those pants, man, after about 4 or 5 hours, I got to change into comfortable clothes. But anyway, it's a tough day. Now, look, it still beats working for a living, right? And the pay is good. So you really, it's hard to complain. And yet it occurred to me, Raj, that I complain anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And that's hard to do. I deserve a lot of credit for that.
You're very consistent at complaining. I mean, you're on TV, you're on radio, you're handsome, you're rich.
Yes.
But yet you find
all
a
these
way
things are
every
true.
Day to complain.
That's right. Every day. You think that's easy?
No.
What's going on in our world right now, I have the nerve to complain. And yet I'm able to do it. I'm able to do it. I deserve some credit for that. Doing hard things is, you know, people deserve credit for that. And I'm one of them, Raj. And then today I get in here and I have to use a company computer to get on Zoom with you. And what am I? I'm like a NASA engineer all of a sudden. I'm like a computer whiz. I got into a Zoom meeting. I've got a meeting ID and everything.
Every day you have an issue. You know, there are third graders that get in the Zoom every day, Max, and you can't get in the Zoom for your own damn show. Every day there's an issue.
I'm a computer whiz, Raj. I got into a Zoom meeting. Don't tell me. Everyone knows. It's virtually impossible. Virtually impossible without help. And the only reason I'm computer illiterate, by the way, is because my crazy parents made sure when I was a kid, I was programming BASIC in 1980. No lie. I was like into it. And my mother and father are like, how much does a computer cost? Well, an Apple's like 2 G's. 2 G's? Computers are a passing fad.
It'll never last.
I had a TRS-80. It was called a Trash 80. It had 16K of memory and no internal hard drive, no hard drive period. Because when they found out, okay, that's $200. I got that. Right? I had to pay for it. I had to like walk dogs and pay for like $100 of it. And then you could disk drive. How much is that? Another 200. You're not getting a disk drive. They got me a tape recorder. This is how they used to record a tape recorder. And in order to erase the tape recorder, you had a magnet gun. So you had to literally demagnetize the tape in order to erase it so you could use it again. But the problem was anything within a 10-foot radius that was electronic wiped out. So they made sure I was computer illiterate. I could have been a billionaire, Raj.
You could have been. Yet we're just trying to struggle to get you on Zoom every day.
Anyway, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Speaking of my parents, my father calls me after the radio show yesterday. First thing out of his mouth, Max, this Tyler Hero. He's great. I'm like, yeah, Tyler Hero's good. Yeah, he's good. You know, Duncan Robinson shoots better, but Tyler Hero's like of the young. But Tyler Hero's a player. He might be a good player like one day. Like he's already a solid player, but like a really good player. And then that night, 37 points. And by the way he got the points, he was shooting threes. He was Euro-stepping to the basket. He was hitting clutch free throws. He was doing everything you want offensively. He's just a real good player. When you look at the Miami Heat, it's not just the present, because I perceived of this team, like you've seen what Pat Riley has done in the past with Heat team. I mentioned, I said they won 4 chips. They won 3. During that 4-year span with LeBron and Wade and Bosch, they won 2. They went to 1, collapsed, won 2 in a row, and then lost to the Spurs. But before that, Pat Riley had gotten Dwayne Wade and Shaq together. But even before that, when Pat Riley thought he was promised a piece of the Knicks, and then they didn't deliver, the Dolans, Jim Dolan. Good job, Jim Dolan. Pat Riley went down to Miami. They gave him a piece of the team. And the first thing he did is he got Tim Hardaway and Alonzo Mourning together. Great big, great little, right? Great, great, great point guard, great big. But their talents weren't quite pitched high enough to win a championship. They used to get knocked out in the first round by a Knicks team that was just a little bit better. But that was, for a first-round exit, those Heat teams were as good a first-round exit kind of team as you will ever see, right? And they were really competitive. Pat Riley, as soon as he gets there, he does that. And then later on, he gets Shaq and Wade. That's like Mourning and Hardaway, but pumped up. And they win a championship. And then later on, the big three. But anyway, this version, this time I'm like, okay, Pat Riley got Jimmy Butler and Goran Dragic, and then drafted well and developed well. But Goran Dragic and especially Jimmy Butler are as good as they'll ever be. And so I don't see this as a team built to last. I see it as a team for right now. I thought when the playoffs started, I did not think they would get this far, but I thought they could win a championship. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't pick them to beat the Bucks, but I thought that they could. I thought, like, you know, you can't say that every NBA season. Heading into these playoffs, there were a bunch of teams where, including the Celtics, the Heat and the Celtics, and the Bucks and the Raptors, could they win a championship this year? Yeah, they could. That's just in the East. Usually in the East, maybe there's one team that could win a championship, if that. And in the West, maybe you got two. But this year, in the East alone, there were legitimately four. You say, yeah, they could win. But I thought of them very much as right now, Jimmy Butler and Goran Dragic, with some help around them. But it turns out, you know, you forget how young Tyler Hero is. He's 20 years old. It turns out not only are they built for right now, because he could mess around and go all the way right now, they're built for the future. Bam is young. Who says Bam is in his prime yet? Bam Adebayo is young, and Tyler Hero's young. I wasn't thinking of Tyler Hero as a future all-star. I was thinking of him as a future nice player. 20 years old playing like this? Who says that's not a future franchise centerpiece or cornerstone? Bam, you hear Kendrick Perkins running around. By the way, Perk is not just, you know, man yells at cloud, grumpy old dude, big personality character. I like things better in the old days. I mean, he is that, but he's a lot more. Perk is a very astute basketball guy. And he's talking about Bam's the third best big in the world. You could easily argue that. You look at Tyler Hero, put him with that now, and Duncan Robinson, who, you know, there's a difference between a guy, a 3-and-D guy, or just a guy who can shoot the three. There's a difference between that and a guy who can do it on Duncan Robinson's level. Like, so far in his career, he's one of the best I've ever seen. Honestly, like, I can't, if you think about the greatest shooters from distance you've ever seen, pretty early on it was clear Steph was that, Clay was that, right? Duncan Robinson, just in terms of shooting, he's not the player that Tyler Hero is, but just in terms of shooting, he's a little different. He's not just a three-point special, he's a little different. This Heat team is so good. But I got to tell you something. And by the way, originally heading into the series, I liked the Celtics in seven. Close series, evenly matched teams, but I liked the Celtics in seven. But then Gordon Hayward didn't play the first two games, and they fell into an 0-2 hole. By the way, he didn't play the first two games, but I want to point something out. They lost the first game by a possession. They lost the second game, the Celtics did, by two possessions, 5 points. They won the third game by double digits, because Gordon Hayward came back. So in evenly matched teams, you fall down to an 0-2 hole, but you're like, wait, a one-possession game and a two-possession game, losses. Then you get your player back from injury, and you win by double digits, and then when you lose, it's by one possession again. What this tells me so far is, look, the Heat are going to win the series. Let's say six games. But the Celtics, had they had Gordon Hayward the whole time, would have real chances. This would have been a seven-game series. And I don't know that the Celtics win it. Like, that could have gone either way, but I really believe it could have gone either way. Unfortunately, that injury sort of robbed us of a more exciting series. But fortunately, the Celtics will lose. So there's the upside. That was Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. Raj is a Celtics fan because he's weirdo Celtics fan. Yeah. Who, like the Celtics, the Cowboys. Who else do you like?
I love the I like the Dodgers now, but that's only because Daryl Strawberry moved over to them. I used to like the Mets. Loved the Mets. Daryl Strawberry.
What, how do you form allegiances to these teams all over the country?
I just watch TV, and then whatever I start liking a sport, I pick it up on.
Yeah, you watch a lot of TV. That's true. You're really very into sports, and you're also very into music. And I remember when your son, when he was like 10 years old, was getting into sports and music because he had to figure out a way to spend time with his father. It's the only way.
It worked.
It worked. Yeah, do you like your son now? Do you hang out with him now?
Yeah, he's a Celtic fan too. Celtic fan. Cowboys.
There you go.
Yeah. All right.
Very easy to get attention from Raj. If Raj is your dad, very easy. Just like the things he likes. So that was Straight Talk Wireless. I just gave you more Straight Talk Wireless about Raj. Everything for less, only at Walmart. Is Carl Douglas on the line? All right. On a more serious note, I want to bring in Carl Douglas now, who joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, a civil rights and criminal lawyer. You can follow him at CEDESQ. Carl, you on the line?
Yeah, Max, how you doing, my friend?
I've been better, but let's. How about you?
I wake up and it's a good day, Max.
Yeah. I don't know if I love the world I'm waking up into recently. But you're right. Carl, let's talk Breonna Taylor.
Sure, Max. A lot to say about that.
A lot to say about it. I mentioned on First Take earlier today that this idea, I think, that hey, there's supposed to be equal protection under the law, right? And every time there seems to be a black victim of violence from law enforcement or criminality from law enforcement, they're in the kind of public sphere, in the sphere of public debate, there is a tendency by many in the media to focus on how that victim was imperfect. And, you know, look, if there's a white victim, then they're the imperfections of their life, because everyone's human, don't become media story. In fact, usually the media kind of tells the story of how human they were, even if they're a mass shooter. Well, he was a sweet boy. He was, you know. But if it's a black victim, forget about a perpetrator. She once dated a guy who sold drugs. Well, and then the kind of parenthetically, she had it coming. I think a lot of the reaction is we're supposed to have equal protection under the law. By we, I mean Americans, and that includes black people. And the only way you're going to get it is to vote. I'm going to get more deeper into that, but I'd like to hear your thoughts.
I certainly have shared your concerns because I've been in this space fighting for civil rights, Max, for more than 40 years. And I agree that voting is probably the most important thing that every American can do, particularly if you are outraged by what happened in Kentucky. Voting and taking part in the justice system as a juror are the hallmarks of citizenship that I think everyone should employ in these troubled times.
Yeah, and by the way, we're showing images on ESPN News right now of the WNBA, who's done a great job bringing attention. The same thing with the NBA. You know, Carl, I went into a kind of like a history lesson on First Take today. The importance, the reason I end up on voting is because after slavery, the passing of the 14th Amendment, you know, equal protection under the law, there was Reconstruction. Because I just want people to understand, when you hear slavery, Reconstruction, Jim Crow, Reconstruction, in a nutshell, is basically the United States of America had to send federal troops into southern states to get them to uphold federal law and stop treating black people like chattel and start treating them like human beings. And it failed. The South refused to do, white people in the South refused to do it. And eventually, Plessy versus Ferguson, because the 14th Amendment, equal protection under the law, said, well, yeah, but you can do separate but equal. Well, you know, as long as they're equal, it could be separate. But of course, it was separate but unequal. And Jim Crow laws, poll taxes and literacy tests for a population where it was literally a form of contraband to be literate if you were black, a slave, usually. Of course, we weren't going to, like in large numbers, pass literacy tests usually right after, you know, Reconstruction. And so what happened was in southern states, black people went from a real political force at the end of slavery to, because they were voting, to basically totally purged from voter rolls as a result of Jim Crow laws that attempted to purge them from voter rolls. And And so you got, you know, a long period of complete inequality, systemic inequality. And Carl, what drives me crazy now is we see a concerted effort by a party that is controls the executive and the Senate right now to do the same thing through gerrymandering, through other more nefarious tactics, even trying to make it difficult for especially black people to vote. And I my message has been, if you're angry today, then don't let them turn you into a zero politically, to erase you and your voice politically in a democracy, in a republic. Make sure you don't allow that and vote.
Yes, Max, what you are saying is very important. And I would even go one step further. I say you can walk and chew gum at the same time. You can register to vote and march in the streets at the same time. Only the squeaky wheel, Max, that gets any oil. So one reason why politicians in Louisville were able to each agree that the family of Breonna Taylor was entitled to $12 million, a record amount that was agreed to less a little over 6 months after her death, was because that's how cities say that I'm sorry. The justice system is imperfect. And we Americans, young people, I'm so encouraged by the activism that I see. But you cannot be discouraged because the system doesn't work as quickly as we would prefer. It works at the speed of an ocean liner, my brother, as opposed to a speedboat. But we can walk and chew gum at the same time, vote and protest, support those issues that are important to you, and keep your voices be heard, because that's how change is ever going to be affected.
Certainly, there's a newsletter, a Judd at Popular Information, that exposed a lot of corporations that espouse, you know, supporting not the necessarily the organization or platform Black Lives Matter, political platform, but certainly the message Black Lives Matter, who are nevertheless donating to politicians who are openly hostile to it, or companies who make donations to those politicians. And as a result of that exposure, by the way, including this company, many have divested from those kind of donations. So when you say you can walk and chew gum at the same time, you can vote and be active in other ways. And this brings me to a question we asked on First Take today, talking to Carl Douglas, civil rights and criminal lawyer, at CEDESQ as an Esquire, at CED Esquire, on the Shell Pennzoil performance line, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. We asked, what else can athletes do? Because they've done so much. The NBA, in particular, and WNBA have done so much. So my father's been beating me in the head with this one. Ready for this, Carl? And I was like, all right, dad, I got things to do, you know. But he says, Max, when he lived through the civil rights movement and was born in 1938. So he said, look, when Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat, and you saw T-shirts, I am Rosa Parks, that's one thing. But the Montgomery bus boycott resulted in change. He said he thinks American athletes across all the major leagues should refuse to play until Kaepernick has a job in the NFL, because symbols are important. And the idea that the power structure as it is that can unfairly deny Kaepernick's right to work sends a powerful message if, in fact, you don't see him working. You don't see him even with the opportunity. Just as Breonna Taylor, you know, these things on the surface, police brutality on the surface, they're emotive issues. But in fact, they're much less actually relevant than, say, mass incarceration, things like that, reforming the criminal justice system. But they have value in that they galvanize people because they're very emotional issues. I don't agree with my father about that. I don't want all athletes to go on strike until Kaepernick has a job. I don't know what that would do exactly, even as a symbol. And more than that, I'm a sports fan, I guess, so I have to check myself to see what my real motives are there. But I was wondering what your thought is about what more athletes can do beyond what they've already done, which is a lot.
Max, this may be controversial, what I'm about to say, but But I don't like Colin Kaepernick as the symbol because he did not always register and vote. And if you do not register and vote, you cannot be a symbol. Rather, I like what Spider Mitchell did with his shoe company. He donated money, perhaps playoff shares, to the family of James Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin, for example. And he got his shoe company, Adidas, I think it is, to match that contribution. Even though James Blake is likely going to secure millions of dollars sometime in the future, his family, his children, are without funds right today. So athletes who agree and use their power, their platform, and their influence to encourage their shoe companies or their T-shirt companies or their foundations to dedicate some of their playoff share to the families of these victims, I think that would be a powerful message that would go far and be a tangible impact on the lives of people who matter.
Carl, as always, thank you for joining the show. You were a frequent guest on Max and Marcellus back in the day on LA radio on ESPN, and usually under happier circumstances, and we'd had a lot of fun. And this is not one of those days, but always appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much. The Max Kellerman Show is brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. All right, now back to sports.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Field Yates, host of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, joins me now. Field, you there?
I'm here, Max. It's good to be on with you, man. I haven't been on with you since the new show began, and I'm loving it. I know it's old news maybe by now, but you're doing a great job as forecasted
yes.
by so many.
Yes, a great job, as are you. Listen, well said. Listen, if you keep giving out stuff like that, the fantasy football crowd that's listening right now will get a lot of good advice. Now, I want to start with something that makes me very sad, Saquon Barkley's injury. Is his replacement a fantasy flex?
I think so, Max. I think it might take some time, though. So, as you know well, the Giants have now signed Devontae Freeman. He could play as soon as this Sunday. He's a player that at his apex of his career was one of the best backs in football. I just don't know that it'll be right away that he's the starter with the Giants as Deion Lewis strikes me as the next man up. So I think in the short term, Deion Lewis is the one with the most value, and it might be as a flex. I think long term, though, there is a chance that Devontae Freeman becomes the workhorse of this backfield, and he is the flex consideration. Now, that being said, we have to figure out what kind of player we are right now, what we have with Devontae Freeman. I'm sure you know this, but last year was not a stalwart year for Devontae Freeman, just 3.6 yards per carry, but it may be that a change of scenery and a fresh start is exactly what he needs to reignite his NFL career.
Now, I've been advocating on the air now for, this is day two, and I'll do it. So this will mark day two because I'm about to do it, for Odell Beckham Jr. to be traded to either New England or Green Bay. AFC New England, NFC Green Bay. I mean, he'd be great in Seattle too or San Francisco, but more realistically, New England or Green Bay because I think he would make Green Bay. I'd put them over Seattle if they had him, and New England, I think, would have a real shot against anyone, including the Chiefs, if they had him. So I think Odell Beckham Jr. is still in his prime and capable of putting up eye-popping numbers. His Cleveland years seem to me to be like the Randy Moss in Oakland years, right? But he has no connection with Baker Mayfield. Like, that's why I think they need to move him. Not that Baker can't play at all, it's just there's no chemistry there. Can you trust Odell as a wide receiver one anymore?
It's probably not going to be consistent enough for me to trust him with the likes of DeAndre Hopkins or guys we've seen in that capacity for a long time, like Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, his teammate, Adam Thielen, even though it wasn't a great week last week. And Max, I think it's a really interesting football conversation that you bring up because going into this year, I think part of Cleveland's logic was basically 2019 was a junior varsity football team, right? I mean, it was an operation maybe unparalleled for the wrong reason in NFL history, or at least in quite some time. So there's no way that Odell doesn't look a lot better this year with a professional operation and you would think some improvement from Baker Mayfield. two games in, it doesn't feel like we're quite all the way there, but the evaluation Cleveland has to make is, will it ever happen, or is this just chasing a ghost? Because his value is still high enough right now that you could get very legitimate compensation in return for Odell. The trick is that every year that passes by, he's older with less time on his contract and potentially less impressive production.
By the way, I'm exactly there. It's not just the age thing to me. It's if it gets bad in Cleveland, if it's clear that that becomes a distressed asset, then the Browns, like, it's just not working. The Browns are going to get less for him. If they do it now, if they're out in front of it, they can get real compensation. And if they wait, because I do not see this working in Cleveland, they won't. And by the way, we were talking, when I said, is he a wide receiver one now? I mean, fantasy football. In real football, sure. The reason a guy like Belichick wanted him is because Odell does everything. Like, there's not just, he's a great overall football player. And I just imagine how Belichick would use him and what that would mean for Cam Newton, who's looked fantastic. Speaking of Cam, is he a fantasy starter?
I'm not so sure he isn't going to wind up being the fantasy MVP. Now, that's a little bit sticky right there, Max, and it's a little bit too soon to be declaring something like that. But when we look at the fantasy MVP annually, it's not always, and for, as a matter of fact, infrequently is it a player that went in the first five picks, right? It's great that Ezekiel Elliott has looked like the second or third best player on the board going into the year and has held up those expectations. But you're expecting him to, right? Last year, part of the brilliance of Lamar Jackson was that, I don't want to say he came out of nowhere, but in terms of where he was drafted, it was not to be the best overall player in fantasy football. Here we are with Cam Newton, who by many people's estimations going into the season had a chance to maybe break through, but was not a certain thing at all. And he has been one of the, you know, I don't know, three or four best quarterbacks, I would say, in real football so far, and in fantasy as well. And imagine what he has done thus far, Max, with like a month of practice under his belt. I know that nobody had an extended training camp, but Cam Newton's was signed on June 28th. He's had less than 3 months to acclimate himself to a new offense, learn that new offense, develop a rapport with teammates. Heck, I mean, I don't even know Cam. Like, he might still have to use the GPS to get to the stadium to go to work in the morning. He's been there so short, right? So this is a player that I think, as great as he's been, I think Cam might only be stock up going forward, which is a really scary thought for those that have to face him in fantasy each week.
Well, I would say so far better than Cam by a little bit. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, and I don't care what Patrick Mahomes looks like. I'm taking him over everybody. But Cam has been right there. And by the way, Belichick's shown he's going to use him on the goal line. Obviously, he's going to get some rushing touchdowns, and Cam is slinging it all over the field. Laser beams, leading receivers. He's looked fantastic. Okay, daily fantasy. Dak or Russell Wilson at all costs? Which one?
Ooh, man, I'm going to go with Russell Wilson, and it's a simple reason why. And for daily fantasy, you're going to pay the premium price here because these guys have such favorable matchups and have been so great. But I wonder if the matchup for Russ is just that much better. The Cowboys starting quarterbacks right now from week one, two of them are definitely out for week three. One's on IR. One, Tadobi Awuzie, is going to miss this game. Their third cornerback, Trevon Diggs, their second-round pick and the younger brother of Stephon Diggs, the Bills wide receiver, has missed practice Wednesday, limited Thursday due to a shoulder injury, a Cowboys defense that can't get its pass rush going at all right now. Leighton Vander Esch already done for the year. Russell Wilson has job done. Has been unbelievable. Right. And here we go with Russ just finding a way to improve his game seemingly every season. And I think as a result of that, Russell Wilson gets the slight edge.
Yeah, the Cowboys really have been snake bit on defense. They have a lot of talent on that side of the ball. The linebackers couldn't get it together. Going into the season, I thought the linebacking tandem was maybe the best in football. They couldn't get it together. Their inexperience was exposed by opposing offenses. And now they're banged up at every level of the defense. Yeah, Russell Wilson is going to have a field day. The great Field Yates. Field day. Wait a minute, Raj. I just came up with a segment. Field day. This is Thursday. It's field day. You see what I just did? Unbelievable. Thank you, Field Yates, host of Fantasy Focus Football Podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Headphones suddenly so high up. I don't know what I'm by myself in here. What could I figure out a way to blame Raj for this? The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Raj, I want to take calls today. Hear what I'm saying? I'm taking calls. The NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight. You do not want to miss this, and if you got to be out and about, you don't have to miss it. Jokic and the Nuggets battle the Lakers. Even if the Lakers go up 3-1, I'm still nervous as a Lakers fan. But if this thing is knotted up at 2-2, presented by Indeed, coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Axe. Max.
Oh, that's it? That's all we got is Axe Max?
We got some background music there. Axe Max. Short and sweet. Right to the point. All right, let's start with the L.A. Hippie. That's a simple question here. Listen now. You tease this. Do you think the NBA champions this season, whoever that may be, are elevated in history?
I have to move out of the way on TV. There. All right. Let's get out of the way. There.
Okay.
All right. Why don't you just put it over my face? That'd be fine. Go ahead.
Just this season's champs are elevated in history in a sense because there is no home court advantage and because the circumstances of being stuck in a bubble environment for this long.
Well, are they elevated? Put it this way. They will be remembered differently than others. Like they'll be remembered specially. Whether or not they're elevated or in some way underappreciated will depend largely on what happens going forward. In other words, if the Nuggets somehow shock everyone and win a championship, and then over the next 5 years win two more, right? Then it'll be perceived one way. If we get a really funky result, like the Nuggets come back on the Lakers and then sweep the Heat, and then neither the Nuggets nor the Heat wind up anywhere near the finals again, right, with these teams, then we'll remember it differently. I suspect what we're seeing is the actual quality of the teams, you know? That's my suspicion. So go ahead. What else?
All right. Next one from Owen. Hey, Max, what do you think the Eagles' biggest problem is this year? Is it Carson Wentz, the coaching, or something else?
Well, here's an interesting answer. What if it's Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, who's made Carson Wentz apparently feel like he's calling shots? Right. This coach, Doug Peterson's a Super Bowl winning coach, but he can't even choose his own staff. He was backing guys on his staff who the owner then fired. Right. And Carson Wentz feels like he can just do whatever he wants to do. He doesn't have to run Peterson's offense. He can force the ball. He can do it. Well, the thing about it is that Nick Foles was running Peterson's offense because Peterson made it simpler for Nick Foles. He tried to do more with Carson Wentz. Really? Or is Carson Wentz trying to do more? But Carson Wentz can't just be acting alone, right? He's not doing that without the backing of the boss. So I would say the answer is Carson Wentz, but if you're looking for his enabler, I suspect, and little birdies may be telling me, that it's Jeffrey Lurie.
Okay, I like that. All right, this next question is not from the fake Jason Sarkis. This is real Jason Sarkis, all right? Mm-hmm. Care to talk about the youth of U.S.
Real Jason
National
Sarkis. You know what that reminds me of, Raj? Remember K Solo in the 80s?
Yeah.
Rapper? He was very obsessed with being the only K Solo. Gather around, I'm the true Solo. I'd never heard of one other Solo. Forget about K Solo. He was convinced everyone was biting his name. Han Solo was the only. He had to go into outer space to find one other Solo, but he was very paranoid about having too many Solos out there. Jason Sarkis, the real Jason Sarkis. Okay, who knew?
Care to talk about youth? Care about the youth of the U.S. national soccer team? Guys like Rinya, McKinney, and Pulisic are all shining in Europe. What do you say about that?
I would say, just like real Jason Sarkis, how about real American sport? Let's talk about basketball or football or something.
Last one. Tanya wants to know, why don't you like mayonnaise? She's like, I don't like it that much either, but just wondering what your reasons are.
I don't know. I think there's something about it makes me sick, man. It's like something about the sweetness, vinegary. Ugh. I'll tell you what, though. Here's the difference for me. If you like mayonnaise, good for you. I don't care if you like mayonnaise. I'm happy for you. Why do I have to like it?
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.